Hello, and welcome to Section 3 of this amazing telesummit called Building Authentic Relationships, Creating Life-Work Balance that helps you become the person you want in the world and get your message out there to the people who need your product and service desperately at this time while remaining true to your authentic self. And today, I'm really, really excited. This particular call has the topics of what if I should miss my calling? Kind of what I meant by that was that people so often go through life curious as to, you know, am I really finding my true path? Am I on this path? So I've asked Reverend Stacy Lee Goforth to come here and be with us about this. And then the other topic, which you might have been wondering about, was the phone rang. It was Spirit, and I'm on my way to Arkansas. And the person that I thought best represented that idea was Judy Kelly, and I'm going to introduce you both to them. And let me start by telling you that Reverend Stacy Lee Goforth is an author, speaker, and interfaith minister, building bridges of understanding between people of all faiths. She helps educate people to the commonalities of world religions and removes barriers of misinformation and misconceptions that are often the source of conflict. Stacy is the author of The Divine Plan, Discovering God's Plan for Your Life, and the mini book, One Spirit, Many Containers, Finding God in all in Other Faiths. In addition to being the co-author of Pearls of Wisdom, 30 Inspirational Ideas to Live Your Best Life Now with Jack Canfield and others, she is working on a memoir of her spiritual journey from fundamental Christianity to interfaith ministry. Very interesting here. Then we have Judy Kelly. Judy Kelly has been doing intuitive work with the Archangels and Ascended Masters since 1949 at 3 years of age. This came forth after her first near-death experience during open-heart surgery. She has had 4 near-death experiences. At 7 years of age, she met and was taught metaphysics, meditation, and positive thinking by Dr. Ernest Holmes. She did healing work for over 50 years privately between her and God. She was then asked by the Ascended Master of Healing, Hilarion, to go public over 10 years ago. She received the whole picture of you through seeing, feeling, and hearing, and knowing about your soul. Her intuitive healing and channeled readings bring forth what is most important for you to know at this time in your life. All is in alignment with you, your I Am present, and your highest soul wisdom and light. She is able to share with you who your guardian angels and guides are, talk to your family in spirit, and share with you past life details most relevant to your current life. Judy's messages are always delivered through a sacred heart of love. She is channeled at the United Nations building for WESAC in New York, and she has been a psychic NBC hired for a documentary and still shown on the Sci-Fi channel on Atlantis and the Bermuda Triangle. She has moved back to La Quinta in August 2011, and this was her 10th move in 9 years due to her work. Wow, wow, wow. Very different from the last calls, for sure, but very much in divine alignment. And I wanted to start this call with Judy doing an opening prayer.
I'm ready.
I'm ready for you.
Okay. Bless everyone who's on the call and welcome. I'm really glad you're here. I ask everyone to go into their heart in whatever way honors you, and that is home. So take a minute and come into your heart. And I'm going to ask the highest wisdom of your soul, sometimes called your higher self, your God self, your I Am presence. I'm going to ask that to come into our sacred heart at the base of our throat. Your sacred heart is your God heart, your omniversal heart, your creation heart. And I'm going to ask for the I Am presence to merge in our sacred heart. So on this call, we are coming from the highest wisdom of our soul, and that we're connecting from our sacred heart to the sacred heart of each person on this call, and each person on this call is touching our sacred heart, and the perfect connections are made. I ask that all is in alignment with the I Am Presence, the highest integrity and light of our soul, and that each person remember who they are, remember their magnificence, and remember the gifts, talents, abilities, skills, and tools that they are here to share, that only they can share in the way that their heart calls them forth to share. I know that every word is blessed, and every word is coming from a heart of truth and honors all that are here now. I ask each person to connect into the totality of who they are and bless it. And so it is, beloved, we are.
Mm. How beautiful. Thank you for that.
Welcome.
My name is Renee Barabo, and I'm known for my ability as a networking guru and a social media expert. My clients call me the practical shaman for my ability to see right to the heart of the matter. And I act in business as a lightning rod for people to get them motivated and moving forward. And this series came about because I kept seeing people on Facebook and in my inbox talking about creating this six-figure income. And yes, when you got into their fine print, they always talked about, and yes, you can have the life that you want to lead. And for me, it was quite the opposite. What I believed was that the life that we want to lead is one life. It's one aspect of ourselves, that all of it comes together. And so I started to be building this notion of really identifying and defining people's business archetype so that they could take this information and answer the appropriate questions for their lives, so that when they go forward in their work, that they're doing it in alignment with all of them, not just the part of them, oh, I'm a healer and that makes me not a very good businessman. Because you're going to hear from some people today who have a message to share, who really the business part of it isn't on the forefront of the burner at all, even though they want to make a living and they want to be cared for, but that wouldn't be their priority going forward. And then, so I've come up with about 24 people who are going to represent very, very different ideas, from being the queen of the forest to being a mom with a message to men who are beating down the spiritual community with their message of hope and inspiration over the airwaves and by offering 15-minute free consultations. And they're making a living, and they're making a good living. I make a good living. I'm spending the summer up on Woodby Island writing a book, and the second book on this business archetypes is following right behind it. And this all started to happen when I really got in alignment with my true north, following the path that was authentically mine. And Judy's known me for a long time, so she knows that for me, I've had to stand in a truth where I've been thrown rocks at, I've been betrayed. There's been a lot of different things and healings that I've had to overcome as I've stood firm in this vision of wanting to be a container of light that would attract the right people who were authentically willing, able to do their work and hear this message. And with that, I'm going to get started with some of the questions here that, you know, they've asked me to ask and some of the questions that I have. And let me start with Stacy and tell me, what is a calling?
Wow. Hi, Renee, and everyone. Thank you so much for inviting me to participate on this call. I'm just really excited about it. You know, a calling, I think, is one of those things that we tend to think is just spiritual, and it is not. It is a life purpose. It is very deeply spiritual, but it doesn't mean a religious calling. It doesn't mean that it's a calling to ministry. It doesn't mean that you have to become a minister or to do something spiritual in a church or in a spiritual community. It can be, it's whatever your life purpose is. And that could be to be a fabulous business executive. It could be as a terrific leader in some organization. It could be to be a great administrator of something or other. It's very unique and very different, but we are all uniquely gifted and enabled to do different things. We have to have a lot of different things. You know, Shakespeare said in, I believe it was The Merchant of Venice, all of the world is a stage, and each man has his part. And that's so true. We do all have a part to play, and all of the parts are important. And so one person may be called to a particular role and another called to another role, and someone else is called to yet a different role, and that's okay. One may be a spiritual leader, one may be a business leader, and one may be something else. So I hope that answered that question a bit.
I think so. And Judy, how would you respond about what is a call? How do you know that information is knocking on your door is intended for you?
In my experience, your entire heart lights up, and you know in the deepest core of your being that this is truth for you. It's called your clarion call, and it's the gift that you're here to give that nobody else is here to give.
Hmm.
And you, it's not effort. It's not work. It is a joy to express. You don't look at a clock. You don't pay attention to time and space. Every part of you just lights up, and you are like a 1,000-watt bulb in the idea of expressing yourself in that way. It's effortless, and it comes from the very heart of your truth. So for me, I call it the clarion call, and I thought Stacy explained it beautifully.
How beautiful.
As did you. That was terrific.
And as you were saying it, I have to tell you that last week I had that experience. I'm writing a book called Finding Your True North, or that's kind of the working title. And last week I stumbled upon this. I have been talking about as your compass pointing true north, and I just thought that that was a euphemism so that I wasn't using everybody else's metaphors for sacred hoops and all of this other stuff. And as I started to really explore this notion of compass, I got into the roots of the compass, and I'm not going to go in there because I'm going to want you to buy the book when it's done. But what I will say is that I discovered that the compass was based on the 32 points of the wind. And 15 years ago, I met a Mapuche shaman in Chile who told me that the sound, the name that I had was Triangle, the sound between passing things. And mm-hmm. when I discovered this relationship between the work I'd been doing and the wind, I knew that that's what she foresaw. I knew that all of a sudden all of my life and my efforts were coming together in this body of work that I'm doing for the general public and for the business world. And I was just excited and ecstatic. So I absolutely know exactly what you mean about lighting up. What do you think, Stacy, would happen if I, and this almost happened because the next day I was talking to somebody, she said, oh, one of your teachers is going to think that that was theirs. And all of a sudden I shriveled back up to like a little, a little raisin for a minute. And I thought, wow, how easy it is for me to still get knocked off of my horse because somebody said something that is discouraging to my dream. So, Stacy, tell me about what happens if I had just taken that and packed it up last week, said, oh, they're right, and then I went on about my life. What would happen if I missed that call?
A number of things are going to happen. First, I think that you can't really completely miss your call. You can choose to ignore your call, but I think it's going to present itself to you in such a way at some point that you simply can't miss it. You may choose still to ignore it, and it may still be stifled by things that other people say or things that you've been taught in your past about how you should be or act or think or do in the world. there are lots of reasons why we could hold back, and it's so hard to stay focused and not let outside distractions and other people and things that we've been taught in the past and fears knock us off that track. And it's just so easy to fall off. But you can always come back. You can always come back. And I think that even if you shut it down and you ignore it this time and you get, you know, sidetracked by something that someone else says, that at some point a little further down the road, it's going to present itself to you again. And I think every time it does, it gets harder and harder and harder to ignore. And I feel like I'm kind of the queen at ignoring it, because it took what I call a spiritual dope slap for me to wake up and realize, okay, I have been called to do something other than what I think I have been called to do. Does that make sense?
I think so, but, you know, I think I would want to go in a little bit deeper into this, because that I know that I've seen people who have had to really, when you miss your call, they've really had things that have been life-changing to wake them up. You know, you're being nice. And by the way, I just got a text from somebody saying they can't hear you, so could you speak up a little bit louder, both of you? That you know, you've heard of people having car accidents. You know, Judy, talk to us. Like, what happens when we don't listen to our call?
I was thinking, you know, I look at things a little differently. And so I appreciate what Stacy said, and I think that's part of it. But I think the way that I've experienced it is there are no mistakes. And there are no accidents. Everything happens in vibration to your heart and your soul. And so if you have a calling, and you may not think that you heard the knock once, but the truth is, whatever side track or route that you took, you were meant to take, because there's some gift in that route that you're going to use next down the line to share and help another person with the gift you're here to give. And we're here for experience. Bottom line, I personally don't believe we're here to learn anything. I believe we know it all, because we are everything on a higher level. We're just here to remember who we are. So when you look at it from that standpoint, there are no detours. There are no mistakes. It is simply, you're gaining experience as you are moving in a direction that allows your heart to expand and to understand more of who you are. And as I look back on my life, every tiny little fragment of something, I've met someone in a bathroom and done healing work while I'm washing my hands, and they come in and they're hysterical. And there I am on the floor with my hands on their heart, helping them. That's not by accident. It's between their heart and mine, and there's some way I'm going to use that information somewhere down the line to assist another person. So for me, it's not a concern, because you're always exactly where your heart means you to be, and you're always of service in that moment. The key is to have fun with it.
So you're saying that if a great opportunity came my way, and like a book that I didn't quite finish yet, or somebody called me and I wasn't in the mood, that really I just took a different road and I'm going to rewind over to that same path later on, or will I come up the road up further along, or will it vary?
You'll come to it fuller. I'll give you a very quick example. Yesterday, I was received a phone call from a woman that I met 4 years ago in Mount Shasta at a meeting in somebody's home for an hour. I never went and had a personal conversation with this woman or her husband, other than at that meeting, she sat to my right and briefly asked me, "What do you do?" She called and asked if I would consider coming to Mount Shasta to be filmed by National Geographic on channeling and information about Middle Earth, the Lemurians and Telosians and things like that, which is part of the work I do. I also am very heart-centered with dog rescue, and I have two dogs I've recently rescued in the last 4 months that are in a place where it is not okay for me to leave. They have huge separation anxieties, and their little souls mean the world to me. So what I understood is I thanked her for her opportunity. My heart lit up. It would have been something I absolutely would have delighted to do. But what I also know is it will come to me in a fuller way when this particular need is not needing so much, and I will be able to give even more at that particular time, whether it comes through National Geographic or it comes through another person. So I celebrate it, and I told her I would do a prayer so that the perfect people would be connected, and I offered to do it on Skype. So we'll see how that goes. But that's an example of where you can look at it as a missed opportunity, or you can look at it as you were knocked on the heart by God or your higher self, however you want to look at it, and you said, this particular thing is more important to me at this time. This is where my heart is calling me. I love that idea, but not right now. And so as I allow my heart to dictate, there will come a place where I can more fully, vibrationally participate in a way that celebrates my gift and allows me to honor my soul and my heart and my little people that I absolutely love, my little fur people. So it really isn't a missed opportunity. It's just being knocked on the heart to let me know, hello, what you have to here to give is needed on some level, and another way will be presented. That's how I personally look at it.
Wow, that's great. So I think I'm going to get a little bit of a controversy here now, and not because of what you said or anything, but so Stacy, based on what Judy just said, this would mean you do a lot of work with trying to get people all and from all different faiths to get along.
Right.
And if what I just hear from Judy, then how does this account for that all of these people are really in their divine right at this point to not get along? And I know this wasn't on the question, so I'm going to throw it at you, but I'm sure you can take it, and Judy will be able to respond. So I've often heard that Mother Earth doesn't need our help. It's very egotistical of us to think that, you know, that we have some powers that are greater than the bigger divine. So how does that relate into your personal mission here of getting one spirit with many containers and trying to find God in other faiths?
Well, I was very interested in what Judy said because, and it is, I think the difference in us is the difference perhaps in the way we received our calling, received our awakening. Mine was very dramatic and led me from being a very devout, fundamental Christian into interfaith ministry, exploring things that I had been taught were the work of the devil. So it's taken me many, many years to work through all of the things, all of the dogma that I was taught in the Christian church as a child. And I don't have anything against Christianity. I still love Christ and am still a Christ follower. I do have some issues with the teachings of the church, but that's my own personal thing. I have gone into interfaith ministry because that's what God put in my path for me. And in hindsight, I've been able to look back at all of the things that, all of the events and occurrences and experiences that I had throughout my life that I should have picked up on and didn't because the church was teaching me something else. And so it has really been a struggle for me to get through all of that and get to where a place now where I can respect and honor and love all of the different faith traditions and people of all different faiths and be able to embrace them and what they believe and even learn from their faith and want to help other people be able to see the same thing. So we came from very different, we obviously came from a very different background. And what I have learned, and to answer your question about why people are not doing what their heart is calling them to do, in many, many cases, it can be because of what they were taught to believe when they were children, when they were coming up. In my case, I was taught to believe a very fundamental Christian ideal that you didn't need to know anything about anybody else and to leave everybody else alone because you don't know what they believe. And they might try to pull you into their faith or they might try to harm you. And so you avoided everybody who was not Christian. That wasn't my experience. That was what I was taught. And my experience, I was fascinated by the Jews in my community, in my school, and wanted to learn more about them. And one of the things that was really a turning point for me in leaving the church that I had grown up in, it was the Southern Baptist Church, in leaving that church was when the minister made an anti-Semitic remark. And I could not reconcile that. It went against everything that I knew in my heart that I felt so strongly, and I just couldn't. I couldn't go back to that church. So I still stayed in the Christian church. I went to a Methodist church a little bit later on, but that was a big turning point for me. And one of the things that made me realize, like I said, hindsight is 20/20. Now that I'm on this side of an ordination as an interfaith minister, I can look back and say, oh my gosh, well, there was that incident and that experience and that lesson and all of these things throughout my life that have led me to where I am. And I think that so many people like me are caught in what they have been taught they're supposed to believe. And that's not just Christian faith. That's many faiths teach that. And many faiths teach intolerance of people of other faiths. So that's one of those things that we have to learn how to work through in order to be able to come together and have a peaceful society. If you realize that people are not, people of other faiths are really not that different from you, and that what they have learned is really not that different from what you have learned, then you can start to meet each other from a more common place and learn about each other and learn about what each other believes. In studying other faiths, it made me I learned so much more about Christianity than I ever knew as a Christian. And I was a leader in the church. I taught adult Sunday school class. I taught children's Sunday school. I taught adult Sunday school. I was, during my these last few years, I was even the director of adult ministries at my church, so as a staff position. So I've stayed involved in the church. But it's just to be able to take that and grow and learn from it and move on. And I think that with, as that relates to a calling, we can suppress it, and it can be suppressed by a lot of things, not just the situation that we're in at the time, but out of fear and out of the things that we've been taught. And we have to work through those.
Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
Now, this is important because I find that for a lot of healers who are trying to make a business out of their spiritual work, that and then I'll bring it over to Judy, but that many, many people have come from this, and I don't know what your Christian beliefs are about other lifetimes or whatever, but they come from this notion that in another lifetime, so many of the healers and gifted, you know, intuitives and people who are the solopreneurs, who are the cultural creatives, they were killed in other lifetimes for living their mission. And so not only are they up against their, I know I have clients who are Southern Baptists, I have, you know, I've dealt with Indian, Hindus, a lot of different people who have come to me because I'm practical enough so that I don't frighten them off, but that there it's almost a difficulty of fully stepping into their heart-centered, sacred heart, get out there and share their message because of the beginnings of their work. So, Judy, what would you say? What would you tell these people who have this in their background?
My experience has been what Renee is saying is very truthful. The way I understand it is, you know, I talk to people on the other side. I talk to crystals. I talk to pets. I talk to angels. I talk to masters. I talk to a lot of different kinds of beings, and you get a lot of different kinds of information and feedback. So for me, what I personally have acknowledged is as you get your calling, as you would call it, as you approach what it is in your heart you think you have a desire to do, you agreed before you even came here what the issues would be, who the people are that would play certain roles in your life, and what are the patterns that you are here to release. And so they're not obstacles. They are opportunities to have a deeper understanding of who you are. And a lot of times, even though, yes, you've had many life experiences where you perhaps have been killed for your power, and that happens to be prevalent because I do a lot of doing healing work with healers, the bottom line is when what you're here to give is ready, and you are spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically and etherically mature enough to handle it, and the planet is ready for what you have to give, the door will open. The door will open. So many of what we call the struggles are similar to that beautiful story about the butterfly. And I used to keep that in front of me when I managed Waterford Wedgwood Crystal in Massachusetts in the Berkshires. And it's a story about how a gentleman came across a cocoon and a butterfly was struggling and struggling and struggling to get out of the cocoon, and he thought he would be helpful by taking a small penknife and open the cocoon and help the butterfly with its wings to come out of the cocoon. And he was shocked when the butterfly came out, opened its wings once, and then died. And it took a couple years before he came across an individual who specialized in butterflies, and he told this story. And the person said to him, "But what you do not understand is the gift is in the struggle. Mm. In order for the butterfly to develop the power it needs in its wings to support its body weight, it must struggle to get out of the cocoon to build up the strength. And when you took the knife and opened the sack, the butterfly's wings were not strong enough and were not ready, and you interfered with the natural ability of the butterfly to support its own body." So I believe, for me personally, that the doors open when I am ready for the doors to open, and when what I am here to give the planet consciously, in mass consciousness, the vibration of the thought process and the heart process of humanity is ready for what I am here to give.
Well, how that is really amazing. So, how would you respond to that, Stacy? But I want to ask you, put it in a framework. What is your struggle? What are you selling? What are you? What is? We know that you have this ministry of, you know, getting people to have a bigger, broader view. So what is it that you're selling to the world?
I'm really here to help people who are struggling with this and with understanding people of other faiths. I think so many times we are taught something by a particular faith or the way that we're brought up, and we get locked in that, and we're afraid to step out and work with the people in our office who are of another faith path. And so I'm here to help them. And what I'm offering is spiritual life coaching to help people work through their fears that have been instilled in them from other faiths by whatever their faith was that they came up with, and or to help businesses and companies and organizations that are trying to broaden their understanding of what other people of other faiths are really, really believe, so that they can have a better, more authentic relationship with them. I think that I was talking with a friend who is pagan, and she worked in an office where there were cubicles, and she was in her little cubicle, and she had a pendant that was the pentacle, which is the circle with the five-pointed star. It is a symbol of paganism, and a lot of people associate that with witchcraft. To many people, that is extremely frightening for them to think that they were working side by side with a witch. But that's only because they don't understand her faith. They don't understand what she really believes. And in her workplace, her supervisor came to her and asked her not to wear that, even though some of the other cubicles had religious symbols displayed on the walls in their cubicles. They had crosses, or one of them even had a picture of Jesus. Another one had a small Buddha statue. So, and those were accepted, but hers was not. So this is going on in the workplace. And so I'm here to help with that. We have more in common with all of the different faith traditions than we realize. And we need to be able to get along with other people. And if we understand what they believe, then we can unburden ourselves from those fears and really be able to have a deep, authentic relationship with them. And that's within our own businesses, within the offices that we work in, and with our clients out in the world, because they're going to come from all different faith traditions. Our world has gotten so small, we can instantly communicate with people all the way around on the other side of the planet from us, instantly. And so we need to have this global community and this understanding of what people of other faiths are all about. And that doesn't mean that we have to give up our own faith. It just means that we should learn about them and be able to respect them and meet them where they are.
I want to challenge you just a little bit. What if we don't have to understand them? What if we don't, it's not our business to understand them, and they're perfectly fine in having this opinion that's absolutely different from ours, but those aren't necessarily, you know, to me it sounds like that there could be this broad range of people you're trying to reach, like everybody, instead of those people who are more inclined to want to have an equal say in this. And so, I mean, I'm gonna let you think about that for a second as I go to Judy back with that question. What are you selling, Judy? How do you see this relationship of trying to get everybody to get along?
I respect Stacy's viewpoint and the direction her life has taken her to bring her to her understanding, and I celebrate that. My experience is totally different. I'm not interested in talking anybody into anything. When you're happy with who you are, you're really not interested in what other people think. And the bottom line is, we're here with a variety of flavors and people and colors and thoughts and images, and it makes life very interesting. And each person is being divinely guided to understand their life in their own way, that they personally wrote it and figured it all out before they came here. They just went through the veil of forgetting, and they don't remember who they are. So for me, I view it as if somebody is Jewish and they are happy being Jewish, and somebody else is, as Stacy said, a pagan, and they're happy being a pagan, it's none of my business. It is none of my business. I celebrate their right to have their choices, their opinions, their understandings in their own way. What I also have the right to decide is if it works for me or not in my life. So if I have a person that has a different point of view, but they're not attached to trying to harm me with it, then I can celebrate their point of view with them, and we can have wonderful conversations and discussions, and we can be enriched by each other's different perspective. The difference is when I, as an individual, find the need to feel secure and safe, and the only way I can feel secure and safe, which is called tribal thinking, is I have to have everybody else agree so that I am somehow validated in my thoughts. And I come from the exact opposite approach. We are each wired in a unique way that allows us to bring the gift we're here to give. And so my path is going to be very different than Renee's path and very different than Stacy's path, and they're perfect exactly the way they are. But my job is to be discerning enough to recognize what honors me and what at this particular moment is not honoring me. And that's my job. It's not to figure out what everybody else is doing and why. So when people come to me and I do my work, I knew at 7 years old my gift was to help people remember who they are. That's what I'm here to do. I'm not here to tell them who they are. I'm not here to celebrate who they are and somehow make some people more important than others, because every single piece of the puzzle matters. There is no hierarchy. Nobody is more important than anybody else. Everybody has a beautiful, beautiful gift to give that absolutely is wired into their very being. So for me, I have people that come from lots of different faiths. I have people that come to me that don't believe and have faith at all. And I'm not here, for me personally, to talk them in and out of anything. I am here to have a discussion with them and a heart connection from heart to heart, since they came to me, for me to give them perhaps a new way of looking at something so they come to their own power, their own conclusion, their own understanding in their own way, whether or not they ever recognize I had anything to do with it, whether or not it was something I said, did, or whatever, it doesn't matter. If I truly in my heart gave them the gift I felt I was to share, it's none of my business what they do with it. So that's how I personally view it.
So, Stacy, in how I want you to answer this, and I don't want you to think that I'm like pinpointing you two against each other, but it's interesting that there is this difference of two very, very deeply spiritual people living in the same life where there's a lot of room for each other. What archetype do you think that you're fulfilling in your mission to bridge the understanding between people of all faiths?
Well, when I went through your list of archetypes, there were several that I sort of resonated with. There were a couple that I more strongly resonated with, but I hesitated to select them because of this feeling that I'm not supposed to admit that or to say that out loud to the world.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, will you please tell us? Tell us the process of that. That's great, because there's other people who might be sitting there. And let me just read the list for those of you who might, this might be your first call. I've asked people to choose one archetype that's primarily functioning in their life, from creator, caregiver, ruler, jester, regular guy, gal, lover, hero, outlaw, magician, innocent, explorer, or sage. And believe me, there's a list of about 72. And this is just 12 because I'm using it as a study for the 4-week program that I'm creating about how to use your personal archetype in getting your message out to the people who need to hear you. So don't think that this is the law here. It's not. So tell us.
Well, the one that I resonated the most with was actually ruler, although I don't like that term at all, and I don't see myself that way, but more as a leader, and I've always been in that sort of position. So that was the main one, and the other two were hero and sage.
Okay. And so now the ruler, I mean, I haven't – these are out of a business book that – and I definitely am going to be playing with the name some, but it means about control, becoming a leader in your community, field, or society. And the hero, you said?
I'm sorry?
And the other one was the sage. Sage is to discover truth, wisdom, confidence, and mastery. And the hero was what? Was the third one?
Gosh, I don't have the description in front of me right now.
No, but was that your choice?
Yes.
Yeah, to prove one's worth through courage and difficult actions, strength and confidence and courage to make a difference in the world. Judy.
Yes.
Tell me. You know what? I'm curious. You come from a different place. Do you have similar archetypes?
Actually, I related to them all.
Right.
You know, there's many facets of me, and I have different experiences fulfilling different roles and playing different parts. And, you know, there's a part of me that presents itself in all of these.
But which one did you pick for me to make me happy?
You know, I couldn't pigeonhole myself into a box. I looked over the list, and not one of them jumped out and said, this is really the main part of who you are. I just think we are a flow, and we flow in one direction, and we flow in another, and we have our moment in this way, and we have our moment in that way. I really didn't find myself drawn to be a specific thing. It just didn't resonate with my heart. I felt
not
that
even the sage.
Pardon me.
Not even the sage with a definition of mastery.
Well, yes, but there again, we're all masters. You know,
right.
Every single being on the planet is a master in their own way. You know, you take a gentleman as an example who is a master mechanic, and he is divinely guided to be the best mechanic there is in the world. Bless him, because that's the mechanic I want to take my car to. The gentleman or the woman who lays carpet or does the flooring, I appreciate their work when I have a floor put in and it's absolutely beautiful, and they are a master in what they're doing. So I approach it maybe a little differently.
Okay. But how do you market that?
Because I
mean, how do you market it to your clients? How do you get clients with this, the way, I mean, how do you get your clients?
They're all totally referrals. And it's quite interesting because of the nature of the amount of times I've moved. You know, it's 14 times in 9 years. And as an example, I have been back in La Quinta since last August, and you were gracious enough to invite me to the woman's show, and I've had two other opportunities to do public things. That's it in the entire time I've been here, because I have been taking care of rescue dogs, and that's where my heart has been. And so I have clients that they find me, and I am so grateful, and they refer me like crazy. And I'm very blessed in that way. So I believe if you do your job and you meet the heart needs of the individual that you're working with, and I'm not the one to determine what that heart need is, they know. And then they refer me to somebody else, and they refer me to somebody else. That's the marketing that I do. Now, I love to do public events, and there's a part of me that thoroughly enjoys it, But at this particular time, you know, you can't be up with dogs for 3 days like I have been the last 3 days with a dog in seizures, having grand mal seizures, and up every hour with epileptic seizures, and then be in the public constantly 5 days a week. You have to pick and choose where your heart goes. So for me at this particular time, as an example, I've been back here for 10 months, and my exposure to the public has been incredibly limited, if you want to look at it that way. But in the same token, the clients find me.
And okay, the speaking of people finding you, how would people find you?
I have a website, and it's my name. It's judycali.com. That's judycali.com. And so people find my website, and they send me information. You know, I'm very open when the angels give me messages. I know that they only give me messages that I'm meant to share with another person, because that's one of the agreements I've made with my higher, if you want to call it my higher self or my divine self. And so when I get a message, I may be at a dog park, and I will turn to the person and I will ask them out of courtesy, do you believe in angels? And if they say no, I don't say another word. If they say yes, then I say, I have a message for you from your angel. Her name is XYZ. And there again, angels in general are androgynous and they don't have names, but they do come up with something that helps you to remember who you are. So they will pick something that will resonate in your heart, and it's quite profound the way they do that. And so I may meet the need of a gentleman or a woman at the dog park for an hour, which I've had happen, and then they refer me to five people, and I spend an hour with this person at a dog park. So, you know, it's quite an amazing thing, the journey that I do. When I get up in the morning, my prayer is that I am living the greatest version of the highest vision of who I am through my I Am presence in this moment now. And that's all I care about. I don't care where that takes me. I don't care who I meet. I also have on my website a rainbow prayer, which is about making all the connections from my heart space to the people and making the perfect, if you want to call it, people, places, and things. And I do that rainbow prayer all the time. So I stay out of how it all works. I just know that my intention is to literally touch the hearts I'm here to touch and for them to touch me. And beyond that, I don't care what form it takes.
Well, that's quite an approach. And Stacy, how do you get your message out to the world? How do you market and how do people find you? And how do we find you?
Okay. I also have a website. And I have a monthly newsletter that I've just started. So you can sign up for the newsletter on my website, which is www.manycontainers.com. That's manycontainers.com. And you can also reach me at stacy@manycontainers.com is my email. You will receive a free mini ebook, One Spirit, Many Containers, talking about how God is one spirit, and yet there are many containers that are religions and is available to us. So I do group presentations and workshops, so a lot of my business is through word of mouth. I've gotten a lot of business through the church, but I'm certainly available for businesses or civic organizations or to speak in other churches or spiritual centers. And I also do workshops on world religions to teach people what the different religions are so that they can get along better with the person who's in the cubicle next to them or with their clients or whatever. And I hope I can be of service to people. This is an amazing world that we live in, and, you know, we're all so different. And Judy, I've resonated so much with so much of what you've said, and it's stuff that I have learned also when I had my awakening and in one dream overnight from fundamental Christianity, learned about spirit guides and channeling and reincarnation and all of these things that
all in one night, huh?
Yeah, all in one night. And so
wow.
I woke up really in quite the state the next day.
All the awakening.
It was, that's why I said it was a great cosmic dope slap. They really got me.
Could you just tell people that you also, just speaking of this channeling, you've just created a new bracelet that you're using your gifts to develop. So just quickly tell people about your new bracelet.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for asking about that.
Yes.
A friend of mine and I developed these very simple little Swarovski crystal bracelets. They're absolutely beautiful. 14-karat gold or sterling silver, gold-filled, that is, or sterling silver accents. And each different color of crystal we have energetically cleansed and programmed and infused with the energy of a particular blessing. So each color represents a different blessing. And right now we have 15 different blessings that are available for people. We're working on men's bracelets. I'm sorry that I don't have any yet that we can offer, but we are working on that. And we're getting incredible comments about these bracelets. They are really making such a huge difference in people's lives.
And where do
really
people find out about them?
On a website. We've just set up, actually. It really hasn't even been announced publicly yet. So you're the first people who hear about it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's quite all right. It is up. It's live. And we can certainly start taking orders if you are interested. It is www.crystalvibrationsjewelry.net.
Great. I want to tell people a couple of things about the next call is on August 28th, on next Tuesday, with Carol Woodliff and Reverend Dr. Audrey Reed. Now, we're going to go back to a little bit more of a business head here, but I think that these archetypes that they may or may not fit into are very, very important for those of you who are really struggling with how to combine your deep, deep sense of spiritual wanting to make a spiritual message in the world that doesn't quite fit into a business model. I think this was important information. And then for those of you who have that, please consider signing up for the 4-week program that I'm offering, because I've signed on an expert who literally was the co-presenter with Carolyn Mace for 13 years, who's going to help us go through and really identify how you can use your archetype, no matter what it is, to further your business and your life. And I have a graphic design person who's going to give you some hands-on stuff. And it's going to be quite profound, and you can find that on the links page, which we've added onto the website, and you'll all have a link to that. And I want, in giving fair time, Stacy, would you close this with a little prayer? And Judy, is there one last word you have to say before she does?
All I want to say is thank you to all of you who came on the call. We were here by divine appointment, and I bless you for the opportunity to have shared and for you to have touched my heart. Thank you.
Mm. And I'm so grateful to be with both of you who come from a similar but very different place. And Stacy, can you give us an interfaith closing?
Thank you. We are so thankful for all of the incredible words that have come through this program for everyone, for the wisdom and knowledge of all of the different presenters, for Renee for taking on this task to put this program together, because it's going to be so beneficial for so many people. And so we just give thanks, and we're in a state of gratitude for all that is. We welcome all of that into our heart and into our lives. Let us be who we are meant to be. May it be so. Ashe, aho, amen.
Mm. Beautiful call, lady. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
I'm honored to be here as a moderator for these amazing messages.
Thank you so much, Renee.
Have a blessed day.